Thanks for tuning in to the Undercuts interview with Leslie from the Fastest Sector. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen and enjoy the interview.
By being a racing driver, you are under risk all the time. And by being a racing driver means you are racing with other people. And if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver.
Continue the conversation on pine-sports.com. That's pine-sports.com and the Pine Sports Discord, which you can find linked on the website. And join us in a one-of-a-kind fantasy Formula One contest at coopsf1.com. That's coopsf1.com, where you can put your theories to the test. So I am here with Leslie and Lizzie from the Fastest Sector, a blogging site, and we met on Twitter like last year sometime and tried to set up an interview, and then I lost track of time, but we're here now. Would love for you guys to just, you know, tell our listeners about yourselves, about the website, and what you guys are about.
Thank you for having us. I always find that this, like, that kind of introduce yourself and what you do, such a difficult question to answer
right
in a single line, because when I speak to colleagues, I say, oh, well, it's a blog, social media group. We do kind of a bit of everything.
Right.
We have a blog, as you said, where we post basically everything and anything to do with F1 news, race results. We've started looking at other feeder series as well. And just trying to keep up to date and everything going on in F1, as well as doing that on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. We do live race updates and things like this. So essentially just trying to put ourselves on all fronts, because we're all really big fans of F1. So in any way possible, we try to create content, essentially.
Yes, that's great. Let's dive into the season. Obviously, there's... the silly season has started crazy early, obviously with the news of Lewis going to Ferrari, and then recently Alonso saying that he is going to be staying at Aston Martin, which I'm kind of surprised that it at least happened this early and that he was going to stay there with the way things are going. Obviously, a lot of the talk has been around the Mercedes seat and what's going to happen there, Carlos or, you know, the young Antonelli. What are your guys' thoughts on the early silly season so far?
Yeah, a lot's been going on. I remember I was on vacation when the news broke out, and I remember there's kind of like whispers when Will Buxton had said, oh, I've heard some news, and when that hits, everyone's going to be really surprised. And I was kind of thinking, I have no clue what this could be.
Yeah.
And then when we started hearing things, I was kind of like, oh, wow, this is
right.
This is big, really
yeah.
big. How is this going to work? And like, I feel like in the space of 24 hours, 48 hours, like it went from, oh, these are whispers to Lewis has signed. And it was just kind of chaos, which is, I mean, it was great to see as a fan who also
right.
isn't a fan of Ferrari or Mercedes. I was kind of thinking, okay, this actually doesn't have anything to do with us.
Right.
But yeah, it was definitely a lot. And then also Alonso re-signing with Aston Martin. I remember looking at the post from F1 and saying, you know, it said re-signed, and kind of on reading it, I think a lot of people had the idea of, did this say resign? Like, I think we were all a bit
right,
surprised.
Right.
But yeah, like you said, kind of surprising. I thought he might, you know, look elsewhere, particularly maybe look at that Red Bull Mercedes seat, but I mean, I do remember him saying Mercedes doesn't really look faster than them at the moment, so he's comfortable where he is with Lance,
yeah.
I guess, that situation. But yeah, no, really interested in seeing how everything else is going to turn out with the rest. I mean, Carlos Sainz's seat is essentially what everyone else is, you know, looking forward to at the moment.
Yeah. So we had said early on in the year in our show, like, before the season started, is there a chance that Carlos does not get a seat next year? And we said before the season started that, you know, it would have been a shame, but we could see that it could happen because there's so much young talent coming up. But he's kind of raced his way into, someone has to take him, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
Other than Max, he seems like the best driver of the season, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's definitely the hotshot. It's very interesting to see, particularly because, I mean, you can kind of understand in the sense that he knows he's not going to see it at the end of the season, so he's literally racing for employment, as Martin Brundle's been saying.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got that kind of motivator to make sure everyone sees just how good he is. So it's interesting. I think it's a little kind of fire that's kind of ignited in him and probably his rivals, because, you know, they're now all looking at him thinking, well, if he gets a good seat next year, he could be even more of a threat. So, yeah, no, I think it's quite interesting. It's definitely something I'm excited to see. I mean, I like Sainz as a driver, so, yeah, no, happy for him if he can get that that seat.
Yeah. I don't know what your feelings are on the team leading for the past 3 years. It seems like Red Bull. We are all kind of anti-Red Bull people. I mean, we try and be, you know, in the middle and give them their props because they deserve the props, but we're all tired of seeing Max win. I'm sure you feel that way too. Even if you are a Red Bull fan, I don't think you want to see the same person winning over and over and over again.
I think it's so funny because imagine I was a Red Bull fan, a hardcore Max Verstappen fan. No, I mean, I've been watching F1 for a long time, so I've seen different generations of people lead. And I know that, you know, it gets to the point where everyone is kind of like, okay, I'm fed up with this person winning all the time. I mean, I was quite young when Sebastian Vettel was winning, and I remember people were absolutely sick of him. And yeah. I remember thinking, well, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I could deal with this for a while longer. And it's sort of the same. I mean, I know there'd be a lot of Max Verstappen and Red Bull fans who were quite happy with the way things are. But as a McLaren fan, I would like to see Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri win races. So
yes.
If, you know, we can see different winners, I would love it to be one of those two guys or both if it was possible. But yeah, no, definitely kind of looking forward to things changing, if we can say that. You know, you don't know who's going to nail the new engine regulations the best, so it's kind of like fingers crossed for some tight racing, because, you know, as a fan, that's kind of all you're hoping to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And go McLaren. As you can see, I'm also a huge McLaren fan. Oscar has been super impressive in his first two seasons so far, but I mean, obviously Lando is the king of that team at the moment, and he is showing it. But going a little bit further down the grid, obviously Danny has been below expectations. It was looking like when he came in halfway through the season last year that he was still better than Yuki, but Yuki has been super impressive this season, really out driving the car, which a lot of people were saying was potentially pushing for the top five, but it's obviously not that. We see that now. Do you think that there's a chance that Danny could be taken out of the seat before the season is over and Liam Lawson being put in that seat? Because they definitely have like a love affair, Red Bull and Danny, you know?
I think it's such a tricky situation. And I remember I went and actually watched DTS season 6, and I remember looking at I can't remember what the name of the title is, but the one where it's just talking about, you know, all three of them kind of gunning for the seat. And I was just, I remember being like, I wish Liam Lawson got that seat, because obviously Daniel is talented, but I don't know, that Liam Lawson is a special kid. And so seeing Yuki perform the way he has, you know, so far this season, exciting stuff. I'm so happy for him. And hearing, you know, Helmut Marko praise him as well for his performances, like, as someone who's seen potential in Yuki for some time, it's quite nice to see now. Do I think that Daniel could lose the seat? I think it's a hard one, and I think it goes back to the similar question of whether people think Checo would lose his seat mid-season as well. I know that people associate Red Bull with being quite harsh and, you know, making the tough decisions when it matters. But I think that there's still enough time in the season for things to turn around for Daniel, and that they have a lot of faith in him, that I think a couple of good races that swing in his favor, and you know, it looks quite even between him and Yuki, and you wouldn't be kind of looking at them saying, who are we getting rid of to put Liam in, when they're, you know, sort of at a balance. Yeah. So it will be tricky, because fighting for points will definitely be difficult if you take out, you know, DNFs and having issues with the car. So I'm going to say no for the moment, because I know there's a lot of pressure and a lot of people are kind of expecting it to happen. But I think in that situation, they're probably going to wait it out, and things, you can never tell. Like, yeah, we're saying this right now, but you can never tell where we'll be 6 or 7 races down the line.
Yeah. I mean, I thought there was no chance Danny was going to be driving at all last year, and I didn't think De Vries was going to be as bad as he was. You know, I thought he was a little bit better than that. But, you know, another team that is definitely, I mean, not that there was a lot expected from them, but Williams have just been a train wreck this season. I'm not even really sure how they are down on a chassis, and it has just like heightened everything for them, and they crashed at least twice in the last race weekend, and Logan almost crashed a second time during the race, and I don't think we've heard if they're even going to have two cars for the next race. I heard it's possible that they, if there's a crash before the race happens, they could potentially only have one car out there again.
Oh, yes, you might be right. I don't think they have a spare chassis. I think they said it was until Miami,
I think, yeah.
Really tricky, because high hopes for Alex Albon. You know, he's a good driver. You can call some of it luck, and, you know, you put it down to, you know, James Vowles saying, you know, in terms of the cost cap and, you know, taking that into consideration, traveling without a spare chassis. But I mean, you can see that it's costing them, and you almost kind of see it as they know that they can't, there's not really room for error, yet they're making the errors, which is costing them. And since at the moment there's quite a large margin between, you know, the top 5 teams, there's very little areas where they can grab the point. It's few and far between. So yeah, it looks really rough for them at the moment. But then, you know, on saying that, there's Alpine as well. So I feel like there's such a big gap between the top 5 and the rest of the other 5 that it's just, I mean, when you look at all the teams in the bottom 5 teams, each one is battling their own issues. I mean, yeah, I say Haas is probably dealing with it the best, but yeah, everyone else is kind of struggling with something else.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Alpine, they're kind of a head scratcher. I mean, I wasn't expecting them to be very good, but I mean, they're arguably the worst car. I mean, if Williams hadn't crashed, they'd probably be ahead of Alpine in a couple of those races.
Definitely. It's just, yeah, it's quite mind-blowing actually when you think about it, because I mean, I would have probably expected them to be 6th, 7th.
Right. Yeah.
And yes, definitely not last in fighting. I mean, seeing Esteban Ocon celebrate, you know, getting out of Q1. And I mean, celebrate the small win sometimes. I think they know how dire the situation is. You kind of have to.
Yeah.
But to go from, you know, a midfield car to arguably, like you said, one of the worst in essentially a season is mind-blowing. I guess some of the changes affected that. Like, who works at Alpine at the moment is probably the question a lot of people ask.
Seriously.
But yeah, it's a crazy situation, to be honest, when you think about it. And I don't know how they're going to fix it. I don't know where the positive change is going to come from. I guess we just see for the rest of the season. But I mean, I feel sorry for the drivers, because, you know, they're clearly doing their best, but there's always something wrong happening. It's just, it's not making any sense.
Yeah, but crashing into each other on the second lap probably doesn't help either. Almost as bad as Ocon celebrating getting out of Q1 is the commentators lauding Sauber, Kick, whatever you want to call them, on their 2 sub-second, sub-6-second pit stops. I mean, It's just like we're seeing all these rookie mistakes from teams that have been on the grid for a long time.
Well, I think the issue with Sauber, part of it was their equipment, which, I mean, they found that out after the first race. And then, you know, we've had three more races where it is getting better, but the fact that, you know, we're coming to a race weekend and it's, you know, you're during the race, it's still happening, it's not great, because if they were in a position where they could fight for points and that's happening, well, you might as well throw that away, because there's no chance that's helping you, because, you know, there's teams doing 2 second pit stops, and if you're struggling to get under 6 seconds, well, it's gonna cost you.
Yeah. All right, so let's move to the better teams for a little bit here. So we're both McLaren fans, but right now Ferrari is definitely looking like the second best team at the moment. Yeah. And they seem closer to Red Bull than they were last year. Do you at least marginally, do you think that there is a chance that maybe towards the end of the season or in the middle of the season, when we get some of these upgrades, that we could actually see some people fighting Max?
In my head, Max has probably won every race for the rest of the season, unless there's another error. And I know it's probably such a silly prediction to make, but when you have a car that fast and a driver that's so capable and doesn't make errors, it's very difficult to see where someone like Ferrari will. I mean, they'd have to have insane upgrades, and Red Bull would have to have upgrades that aren't going to work for the rest of the season, right, for that to happen, in my opinion, because of course they've got two really good drivers. But I don't know, when you just see Max, when he qualifies first and you see him in that car, lights out, he's essentially in a race of his own. I mean, I know it wasn't as big in the last race, but I don't know, I find it very hard to see that happen. I would like to think it could happen, right, because, I mean, in terms of racing, I mean, I'd love to see it. So if Ferrari could bring some upgrades that bring it closer, and they have two, you know, very capable drivers, it would be nice to see. But then the question is, how do they figure out what strategy to put the drivers on? Because, you know, we kind of associate Ferrari and having strategy miscalls and, you know, making those sort of errors. And when you're fighting a team like Red Bull, who are really, really good with their strategy, you know, there's not really room for error there.
Yeah. And then just a little further down, I mean, you said earlier on when Fernando decided to stay at Aston Martin that he feels that they are kind of above Mercedes, but, or at least have the potential for that. I mean, that seems shocking to me, the fall from grace that Mercedes has gone through in the past 3 years. I mean, is that really possible, that Aston is really going to be better than Mercedes?
Yeah, I do think it's possible, because, I mean, sometimes I kind of think maybe, like, we talk about Aston Martin and their car, and we say, okay, are they there yet? But then you think of, you know, Alonso's experience, and you think of how Mercedes is at the moment. I mean, watching them, you kind of look at it and you say, is this the team that we were watching dominate so long? Like, where is that team? And personally, at the start of the season, I said, if there's any team I believe that, you know, could make a difference, it could challenge Red Bull, like we've seen in the past, it would be Mercedes.
Yeah.
And we're watching this all unfold, and you think, wow. I mean, Lewis's decision to Ferrari right now looks like a brilliant, brilliant move for him. So, yeah, Mercedes, I don't know what's happening there. I don't know how they're going to go about replacing Hamilton, and essentially what the future looks like. It's tough times, I guess.
Yeah, it really is. And recently, just because I'm so sick of watching Max win, I've been watching some of the 2021 season just to, you know, really stick it in, you know. But, you know, it's just so hard to see how it was only 3 years ago that these teams were battling so close, and there was really nothing separating the two, and then the rule change comes and everything is different.
I mean, you'll always see certain teams deal with the regulation changes better than others. I mean, take at the end of Sebastian Vettel's, you know, domination, swiftly moving into Mercedes, they were the best coming out of that, and I guess now we have it with Red Bull. So, you know, the aim with the new, with any change, is to be the best with it and, you know, work it at the best. So, I mean, congrats to Red Bull. They've clearly done it here, and Mercedes haven't got it at the end of 2022, and they still haven't got it now. So, yeah. Unfortunately, that's their situation.
Yeah. So we're getting towards the end here, but we are all based in the U.S. Two of us are from England, but we're based in the U.S. And we were excited about the potential for an Andretti car on the grid. And that obviously got, you know, declined for now. Do you think that there's a chance that we could see an Andretti car on the grid by 2026, or is that too soon?
I would personally like to see it. I would, because like I said, back in the day, we had 12 teams, and yeah. I mean, every team was contributing a different amount back then, but with the state of certain teams we've got on the grid at the moment, and Andretti, you know, showing they're serious about this, I don't know. I would like to see them. Is 2026 too soon? I mean, that's actually only 2 years away, so it might be, unfortunately. But I don't know. I would really like to see them also. I think it'd be really interesting, because I guess I think Williams might be looking at a possibility of replacing Logan Sargeant and not keeping him. So,
yeah.
I mean, to have an American driver for Andretti would be super cool too. So,
yeah
it's a tricky situation. I think there's still a lot to play for. So I guess we just have to kind of keep our eyes open to the possibility, but also I guess the possibility that it might not happen as well.
Yeah, it's a shame. And then I think us American fans are probably realizing that Logan is not the American hope that we're going to have in F1. So maybe Colton Herta coming in when Andretti gets it, that would be pretty cool. So thank you so much for joining me today. Can you just give the listeners where they can find your stuff, where to look? That'd be great.
So you can find us on our blog at thefastestsector.com, and you can find us on our social media on Instagram, thefastestsector, and on Twitter, _TFSofficial. And yeah, that's where you can find us.
Awesome. Leslie, thank you so much for joining me, and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
He has to give up the corner. I had to nose ahead. What is wrong with these people?
Thanks for listening to the Undercuts interview with Leslie from The Fastest Sector, and join us next time for our review of the 2024 Chinese Grand Prix. See you then.